How do you start a podcast?
I don't know. Let's try the least official way we can.
Okay.
Do we just like, I don't want then? It to be like a full presentation.
No. No, I don't think so. I think it will keep it pretty casual.
Yeah.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to what will probably be the pilot to the Talk Hub podcast. You're here with your boy, Jeff, as always. Got my right-hand man who's on my left-hand side, Kurt.
How's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
Yeah, good.
This has been something that's probably been in the pipeline for a long while and something that we definitely wanted to do. And since we've just recently upgraded our microphone setup,
yeah,
it's been probably the good time.
Yeah, sort of like the YouTube thing, wasn't it? Spoke about it for a year or two or maybe more.
Yeah, but honestly, when we started was probably the right time. Like, we had projects before or whatever, but when we actually kicked off, I think we were ready.
Yeah.
And I think this is probably the same.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
We're going to get real good at, like, the hot potato going between each other.
Well, you're already good. I'm just not that good.
It comes with practice.
Yeah.
But podcasts, I guess, where do you sort of go with podcasts? Do you listen to a lot of podcasts?
Not really, actually. I really only listen to one podcast, and that's Gypsy Tales, Jace over in Queensland.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's the best overall podcast. They had like the biggest viewings and or listeners and stuff in Australia. He does a pretty good job. So.
Yeah.
And his topics are right up my alley, you know, motocross and, you know, all the action sports. And he has a lot of different people on, so.
Yeah.
It's a good one, definitely.
Yeah. I agree. I think it's pretty good. He's got a pretty gangster little studio set up.
Yeah, well, he's got got one in Europe, one in America or USA, in Cali or somewhere, LA or I don't know.
And then you've got us with a camping table in my shed.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I think for me, podcast was a thing because I was driving trains, obviously, and you're by yourself for a long time and the radio gets real old real fast, and then sort of Spotify came into my life and that made things a hell of a lot better.
Yeah.
Especially when you're sort of there for 9 hours by yourself in the train. And that's when I kind of got introduced to podcasts and I started listening to guys like Power and Speed. They were the US automotive guys.
They're the other ones that I listen to as well, but they haven't done anything for a million years.
A long time. Yeah. So there's Power and Speed, Real Tuners. I listened to a couple of the local WA ones as well in Talk and Power and the Pod Filter.
Yeah.
But it was just something different. And I think it's probably something that we could really get into because obviously we've got the YouTube thing, right?
Mm.
Where we do our videos. And sometimes it's hard to find 2 days for us to be doing what we're doing in the shed, condense that down into a video. And when you do condense it down into that, we try to go into a lot of detail, but when you go through an edit, you go, man, this is dragging on way too long.
I always try to be quick, and I say that on camera. Oh, look, I'm not going to keep yapping and fucking...
10 minutes later.
Yeah, 10 minutes later, I'm still dribbling shit. Like, it's hard. You kind of want to give some value to what you're doing, you know? So you want to go into a detail. That's what I like, all the detail in everything. That's the juice you want, but it doesn't always translate well on video. And then, you know, as anyone that watches the channel, that you do all the editing, and everyone would know that it's a lot of work, like for one bloke to go through 2 hours of shit dribbling to cut it all out, you know?
Well, like, what we can do now with the podcast is in between, and it won't be like in between every video. We're not going to do a podcast for each episode that we've done. But what we can do is when we do a podcast, if there's someone that wants to know something and you put it in the comments, we can do a deep dive here because you've got 20 minutes of where you're not really paying attention to the video and you're just listening to the audio. I feel like YouTube videos are something that you're watching on TV, probably maybe with the kids or whatever in your spare time. Podcasts are probably more of a thing that you've got your headphones or you're
on the drive to work.
Yeah. Like you're doing nothing else. You can engage your brain with that. And so that's where I think we can add some value with what we're doing here on the podcast, is that we can then add that value that you do miss in the video. But not only that, we can also branch off into heaps of other things as well.
Yeah. Even if there's not really any, say, when you say value, you mean like technical value.
That's right. It might
not be even that. My favorite thing about cars is just talking to other people about cars. Honestly, it is. Like with our, that was my highlight on our latest trip that we had, you know?
Yeah.
I like seeing cars and watching drags and all that stuff. But honestly, it's talking to people about cars.
That's right. Well, I guess that's a pretty good segue. Obviously, it was about a week and a half or 2 weeks ago that we got back from Red Santa Nats. Mm,
yeah, yeah.
Let's go through that. Long trip.
Very. I was over it. Before second day. There. For those that didn't know, four days of driving, 12 to 14 hours a day in a, how old's that Ranger? Too fucking old.
Yeah.
No
leg 2012 room. Dual cab Ranger. And you were the most petite fella of us. And you're not.
Thank you.
And it's not like you're that compact. I mean, you're a pretty average standard size quarter dude. But
those back seats aren't made for average Australians. No, not at all. And then I got sick on the second day. I don't know what it was, but I wasn't good. And Jeff knows me pretty well. When Kurt's not feeling good, he's not good. If I'm not 100%, I'm fucking 10%.
Or 0.5.
Yeah.
It's you're either so real, yeah,
that
good
was,
or you're not.
That was a bit of a bummer. But other than that, fourth day, come good. It was the last drive day. So it was good. We're back on.
Yeah.
We're back, baby. Yeah. So, no, it was good. And the thing that surprised me was I thought it was going to look like a shithole, but there's scenery driving in with, you know, different rocky, you know, scenery and stuff like that. It was actually kind of picturesque in a way. And it's a nice place.
It is. Yeah.
Like, honestly, it is. I'm not going to say if I don't think it. It was, I don't know. It just has a nice vibe.
And I think that's what the events really got going for it, in that it's something special because of the place of where it is.
Yeah.
You've got people from every corner of the country that have converged in on the center. And like you say, it's a very individual sort of scenery. You've got a lot of rocky escarpments and things like that. You've got sort of mountain ranges that sort of go around, and
it's cold. It's fucking cold.
Man, we weren't ready for how cold it was going to be. I've worked in the Northern Territory about 500 kilometres north of Alice Springs. And I knew that at night it does get cold, but I think we were expecting the days to be warm and they just weren't.
No.
But
yeah, I think prime conditions were, we just got a shit sort of section, because some of the people at the caravan park were saying it was like 30 odd the week before.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, perfect.
But the event itself, I guess, what was your highlight? Where was your favourite part of the event?
Like I said, the highlight was literally catching up with we seen a couple people that watch the channel and stuff. So it was good to just meet those guys. Mm. Caught up with Jay Benz. He's a dead set legend.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that was actually the casino. That was the
the podium party at Lassiter's.
Yeah.
That was next level.
Yeah, so that was probably my favourite part.
Your favourite part?
Yeah.
I asked Jack what his favourite part of the event was, and he said the Sunday roast.
Yeah. It was pretty good.
We did stay well fed while we were there.
Yeah.
We took a Weber, a little baby Weber-cue, and that was probably the greatest item to pack on that sort of journey.
Yeah.
Because one thing that I was pretty adamant on before we left, and I know that you were in agreement, I was not going to live out of a hot box of a servo the whole way there.
I wouldn't make it. I'd be dead.
No. So, you know, we we planned our meals and stuff like that, and having that roast on the Sunday before we went to Lassiter's, that was pretty good.
Yeah, it was.
My highlight for the event was probably the street parade.
Yep.
I wasn't expecting that to be as cool as it was. Yeah. I thought, you know, street parade, whatever, you know, line up cars and you just cruise for a bit. But to have all of the entrants in one spot, because you've got so many different things. We said it in the video. You've got the racing going on at the track, and then you've got the show and shine at Blatherskite Park. You've got some driving events at Lassiter's, and then you've got people that are just cruising around. So you don't actually get to see the scale of the event until such time as you get to the form up for the street parade.
Yeah, that's right.
And the sheer number of cars. It was
crazy. Over 1,000, wasn't it?
I think it was 1,040 something cars.
And that's the biggest out of every time they've done it there, out of that 8 events or whatever it was.
Oh, I'm not a statistician.
I think they were pretty pumped that they cracked 1,000. It'd have to be close. I would assume that it'd grow every year.
Yeah. But even just driving in for the form up and seeing that there were so many people on the side of the road, they were already there with their barbecues and their Eskies and whatever. And it was like, wow, man, there's going to be some people here.
Yeah.
And then we get out of the Blatherskite Park and go into town, and there was like 5 people deep, more or less the whole way through. Yeah. That blew my mind.
Yeah.
I didn't expect there to be that many people. I think they estimated something like 25,000 people were there to watch the street parade. And that was just like, yeah, that was cool.
Well, it's not every day you get to see something like that, you know, so.
Especially in Alice.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they've got, you know, they've got the drag strip there and that. So I'm sure they've got like a bit of a car scene in the region. But to have that sort of volume in one spot, I think that'd be pretty special.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely something that other events could try and, you know, capture in a way if they could.
Yeah. Having it sort of within the town. I think Rockynats sort of does that as well in Rockhampton, but we're more familiar here in Perth with Motivation and Power Cruise, where they're pretty captive to a motorsport facility.
Yeah.
If you were to have it
Those venues are away from everyone that's going to complain about noise and stuff, you know, so it'd be a trek to, you know, there's no centre as such.
Yeah. So that was, I definitely enjoyed it. I'd like to do it again. I don't think we'll be doing it next year.
No.
But I'd like to get back there for another event in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, the racetrack facility was pretty good. So I wasn't expecting something that good in the middle of there.
You're thinking it was going to be a bit more of a go track?
Yeah. Yeah, so. No, it was good. And like I said, just talking to people.
There's a couple that sort of stand out to me. Scotty, he came up to us at the burnout qualifying. Asked a few mates if they wanted to go to the Red Centre. He was from Darwin. No one was available or whatever. He just went down there by himself.
Yeah.
And, you know, we bumped into him and hung out with him for a couple of hours. That was awesome.
Yeah.
A couple others as well. Matt McCabe, meeting him. Phoenix VY GDS mock-up. Matt and I, we work for the same company, but and been talking online for a little bit, but then to convene there and actually meet and hang out for the weekend, that was wicked.
Yeah.
Jay Benz, like you say, dead set legend. Andy Lopez from Summonats. And just, there was a range of entrants. We spoke to a lot of people at Lassiter's.
Jeff did it especially. He loves talking to people.
We were in a state, mind you.
At the casino?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were. You were the worst. I was the best.
I thought I was great.
Yeah.
We were there and I was on fire, man. I was, you know, won a bunch of money at the casino.
That was good.
So we're playing with house money, buying drinks with house money. We get to the end of the night. Geez, boys, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. We got to get up and pack up camp at some point in the morning.
And hit the road.
Yep. So walking out the door, I thought I was good. I thought I was good as gold. As soon as I get outside into that cold air.
Fresh cold air.
Done.
Pow! Right in the kisser.
Bang. Hit me like a brick wall.
Yeah, you were dog shit, man. Absolute dog shit. And the other two boys weren't much better.
They weren't far behind, though.
Yeah. That was good, but that was good.
Got to say, props to Michael. Going there with a crook wing. You probably saw in the videos, if you watched them, that he had his arm in a sling for a lot of the time. Had an altercation just prior before leaving for the event, but didn't want to miss out.
Yeah, it was so, too late to back out, wasn't it?
Exactly. Truth be told, when we got home, we got home on the Thursday. He saw a specialist on the Friday, had surgery on the Saturday. Yeah. That's how dire.
And he's still laid up now. He won't be doing any overhead stuff for a while.
No. So props to him. Yeah, and absolutely. Got to say, mad thanks to Mick for taking us out there. Yeah. That was a gift from him to us for building the XY, and honestly, it was a pleasure to build it, and it was so good just to get out there and use it.
Yeah. You know, thanks, Mick.
Thanks, bud. Yeah. Moving on from that, let's talk where we're at the moment. It's been a while since I just did an update on my build, but haven't really touched on yours for a bit. Where are we at with it?
Where the last video stopped, that's about where we're at. So I was supposed to build a dump pipe the next day, and I didn't.
No.
But I'm close. I started doing a bit this afternoon, so I've got a bit of motivation to give it a nudge now, I think.
Yeah.
I struggle. I just, another. It's That's why the car just seems like it'll never get done.
And that's... I did a bit of a Q&A on Instagram the other day, and people asked us sort of what our biggest motivator is to keep going with our builds. And honestly, I feel like the YouTube channel does create a level of accountability for us where people will, after a while, they'll get in our DMs or they'll comment on a video and be like, "Hey guys, where you at?" And then we'll just be like, "Oh shit,
Time flies, it really does.
It does.
You're like, fuck, it's been 4 weeks and I haven't done anything, or 3 months or whatever, so... It's a tough gig.
It can be.
Yeah, to stay motivated, it's hard work, and life gets in the way. So,
well, life has definitely changed, particularly over the last maybe 18 months. I mean, it has for a lot of people, but, you know, I've moved off the locomotives into a different position in my company, which puts me in an office, and it's changed my roster structure. You've left your previous job and started working for yourself.
Yeah.
As a subcontractor and also taking on your own work within, you know, your fabrication field.
Mm.
So things are definitely...
Yeah, in the time factor, I've gone from working less than a half a year, like way less, to now pretty much working all the time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, growing family and stuff, so...
That's right.
Yeah.
But how do you feel for it? You feel for the better?
Yeah. Yep. No, it's good. It's good doing a few more cars and stuff like that. So, I don't regret it at all. So,
no, it's good.
Yeah.
And not all of them will be channel projects or whatever. No. Sometimes you're doing fabrication on a performance vehicle, but, you know, it's what you do for work and what we do for the channel are two different things.
Yeah. Filming and stuff on cars, it adds another whole element as far as... Can I really be fucked doing that today? Or whatever,
not only that, it can make a simple task take 3 times longer than it needs to.
It every time it does. It's unless you want to just a shitty time lapse or whatever. Yeah, it always takes. Sometimes you need to do the shot again. You make me do that. But yeah, it definitely adds a little bit of time. When you're there, it's not so bad because you can sort of drive what you want. Yeah, do this, I'll do that. You're really creative in that regard, but when I'm there, left to my own devices, subpar sometimes. Although you did say I did a good job on the last one.
You did? I agree. Yeah. So. No, I thought you did well. And you kind of... I found that learning how to film for YouTube was really grown from editing. And because you don't edit... Like, I now film to what I want to edit.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, and so when I get on the computer, I know what the clip's going to be like and... you know, where the cut's going to be and whatever. You probably don't have that same level of exposure, but at the same time, from me telling you, like, this is what we need to do here, blah, 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 you're working it out pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's got to rub off somehow, doesn't it, in a way? I'm not tech savvy. For someone that's only 35, I think, I'm not that good.
Yeah.
It just, I don't know, man, we just don't vibe, eh?
I think we're right on the... a bit of a cultural shift in where our age is.
Yep.
Anyone younger than us has pretty much spent a whole of a lot of time on there, and the people before, they all played outside. We were kind of smack bang in the middle where you could have gone either way. And I think both of us were more on the side of, on the BMX bikes,
catching trap poles,
you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
As opposed to playing computer games or, you know, The Sims or Age of Empires.
Living your whole sort of teenage life on social media and stuff. So we got to avoid all that. So
yeah.
It's good. I think we're the last lucky ones, man, honestly, in that regard, you know, of how we got to come up. It was good.
I think in some ways we were probably born maybe like two decades.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I wish I was born in my parents' decade, era for sure.
Particularly 100%. For cars.
Yep, cars, music.
And the way that the lifestyle was, obviously the not only political correctness, but just society as a whole and how we need to navigate that. I think the way that we are and our way our personality is, it probably definitely lended itself better to an earlier time.
Oh, yes. That was beautiful, Jeff. Yes. That was your PC way of saying we won't say it. No, I agree 100%.
Yeah. And it's not because we're like...
I just like to say it how it is.
Yeah.
If and it's I not sound because stupid,
we're
out there
trying to be offensive. Yeah. We're not people that are, you know, we are...
Treat people how you want to be treated.
I was going to say, don't we are be a respectful. Piece of shit. We are respectful human beings, but, you know, sometimes it just feels like you got to walk on eggshells. And I don't know, if we could just go back and we could live our 20s in the 80s and we could, you know, build cars and, you know, you could play up on the street a little bit without it being a major issue, especially because we live semi-rural. But now, you know, all that's gone.
Yeah.
Because there's too many people and there's too many eyes watching and everyone's got a high definition camera in their pocket.
Yeah. And also the cars weren't making the power they were. So, no. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But they were way cooler. The cars were way cool. That'd be the only reason.
Yeah.
Or the main reason. I'll just be buying old Taranas and...
Imagine Monaros having like a 350 wheel horsepower LH Tirana in the 80s running like a mid 12.
Yeah. That'd be like walking around with a dong like that. Just
you were the man.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, that'd still be cool now, really. Yeah.
It's just that we're so jaded to the figures. Like everyone's got 1,000 horsepower now and it sounds like it's just so easy.
Yeah.
And it can be for people who have a big enough wallet and they can just drop the car off and get someone to do the hard work or someone's already done the hard work. They've got the recipe. They'd make it happen. But to actually build it, I mean, having done the XY now, that thing makes roughly 800 wheel. It's, and even that,
and I don't even think we've seen that yet, like at all in action, like...
No.
I don't think we've even...
scratched the surface.
No. I think there's a lot of learning to do on that car for Mick in your driving. Like, when I just drove it, just took it for a cruise, it doesn't feel like something I'd want to be trying to keep on the road, you know?
Yeah. Don't want to take any liberties because it will snap your neck.
Yeah, well, you just don't know. That's 1 minute you got traction and the next you don't. And it's an old 70s Falcon, so...
That steering box is horrendous, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty shit. But talking about like the big horsepower stuff, a lot of these cars are all super late model cars with good suspension and brakes and stuff, and they're heavy. So like an LS that makes like 800 isn't the same as a VL that makes 800. Honestly, like LS... Commodore late model, like say a VE, like something
or a
like
VF
that.
GDS
or whatever. Yeah, awesome cars that hook up really good, but it's not like an 800 horsepower live axle early model Commodore that weighs 1300 kilos or 14 or whatever.
No, you're right.
It's just not the same. It won't be as fast. It won't be as deadly as well. In the wrong hands.
Well, it's got traction control. It's got ABS.
Oh, I think it's just the weight and the IRS and how much tyre you can fit on a stock one. Like, I think the IRS makes a huge difference. Like, when you put the power, you get a nice squat and stuff, whereas the solid diff stuff sort of hits the tyre and lifts it up, it seems, anyway.
Yeah.
So, at a sort of moderate horsepower level, anyway, I think once you're making tons, it gets a bit harder, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. People just want to see the number and they don't really know what it means.
Yeah. And I think we're all kind of victim to that in a subconscious way. Like, I know that in my head, I want to make 500 wheel in my VH, right? And that's a something... That's not really the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to run a 950
in that. You've come up with that figure just from previous recipes and knowing what it should do. Mm. Like, that's... You're not going to say, I want 500 if every other single one's only ever made 450. Or no. Whatever, you know what I mean?
I know that to run the number that I want, I need to roughly make somewhere in that vicinity. And it's not so much a thing of... You've got some people who their goal is to make that horsepower figure. You know what I mean? And there's no context as to why they want to make that figure. Like, I think the context for me is I want to make 500 wheel because I know that would be roughly, you know, 700 at the crank. And... That's with the weight, what the weight is and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to need that to run a 950. Yeah.
And the hard parts you've got, if done the right way, that's what it will do. Like, obviously, you want the best potential for the bits that you've got. That's why it's called a combination, you know what I mean? So you don't just put $10,000 heads and then have other crap and then expect, you know what I mean?
But the thing that I don't understand is when people say, I want 1200 horsepower, and it's like, why?
But that's just the day and age we live in now. It's just clout chasers, you know, like whether you've got say 900 or 1300, it's going to drive the same on the street.
Yeah. And that's not to say that, like, obviously there was a time where the horsepower hero was, that was a sport in itself, you know, like we looked at the guys like HP God, Mr. PSI. There was a lot of these.
Yeah. You know. Shit, who else was there? I'm trying to think now.
What was that Blue VX?
Try Hard. Yeah. Yep. I actually seen that at Summonats on the dyno a few years ago. It's pretty rowdy.
These were amazing 2,000 horsepower engineering marvels, you know, at the time.
This was back when you couldn't even get an aftermarket block for an LS, pretty sure. Like,
yeah.
I remember there was maybe a year or two where was it Lyle Lavery or someone like that? He was another guy, had Blow 402 or something, goldish Commodore, and he had something else as well, maybe a Ute. But these guys were just, the blocks were just shitting on the dyno, like, you know, on the day or whatever. They were just pushing what they had too hard for the stock architecture of that.
And if that's what you're doing, if you're trying to chase a record or whatever, and, you know, like, that's what you're... horsepower goal is, that's more power to you. But a lot of these people are building street cars that they want to drive on the street and throwing out these outlandish figures of just like, I want XYZ for no apparent reason other than
they need a lot of them are going to the track though as well.
Mm.
And the beauty of turbocharging is you can have whatever horsepower and you have your cake and eat it. That's the beauty of turbo, which most of these cars are.
Yeah.
So it's always nice to have the potential there anyway, but sometimes you don't need it.
No.
Or you realise you don't need it after the fact, but that's okay. I don't know. This is weird talking into this thing. I'm going to sound slow.
Yeah. I've learned so much about podcasts in this setup. Like, I now realise why people wear headphones. It seems silly, like, it's so you can hear yourself, but why do you need to hear yourself? It's so that you know...
Mm.
Where you're at with the microphone.
I'm going to have to get used to it.
It will take some getting used to.
Yeah. I don't like change. But you can get this sweet ASMR with the microphone.
Stop it. Could you imagine if I had like a sandwich and I'm like...
I would leave. Not before stabbing you in the throat though. I'd WWF you with that fold up chair. Yeah, I said WWF. This is before
John
WWE.
Cena. Like, I don't know where it is, but they're actually going to take this podcast. We've obviously got some ideas of maybe some segments moving forward. You know, some different things that we want to introduce. The live stream thing, obviously we did the YouTube live stream thing a few times, which we really enjoyed. And I think that there's potential that we could formulate this to be in a live format and an interactive format, in that we could maybe rig up a phone of some description and you can actually call into the show and you could be a part of it.
Yeah.
Obviously, like every other podcast, we'd like to have some guests on at some point. But that will be a time of building up to. I don't think that's going to happen straight off the bat, no, for sure. No. And particularly with the equipment that we've got, we're, like everything, we try to do more with less.
Mm.
So I think if you guys have got any suggestions on what you'd like to see, obviously we want to take it on board because you're the ones that are going to be listening and or watching. We will put this on YouTube as well as, I guess, Spotify, iTunes, whatever.
Yeah.
Haven't really looked that far in.
No.
But this will be both a video and an audio format, so.
Yeah. Because the way I look at what we're doing is kind of like the old forum days, you know, like the guys that are our age and older will remember the forums, no matter whatever cars you're into or whatever. Forums are where it's at. So the channel for us is like...
It's our build thread.
Yeah, it's like our thread in the forum we call the internet, you know what I mean? And this is sort of like the shit talking section of the forum, you know what I mean? Like it's just all about sharing and getting amongst with it really and just hearing other people's ideas and thoughts and stuff like that.
And that's probably been one of the things that I didn't expect that would come from the YouTube channel as a whole, is that the level of knowledge that's been bestowed upon us. You know, people watch the video and they're like, hey man, love what you're doing there. Hey, just so you know, when I did this, X, Y, Z, you know, like giving us a lot of really good pointers. And that's sort of goes back to the forum days. You put that on the forum, people would give you their feedback. And for every one person that wants to try and be a hero or talk shit, there's like 50 people who are right behind you.
Yeah.
And that's been something that's really...
That's probably really what keeps us going, really.
Is agreed.
Just the interaction, same as with the car show, which is that, just the interaction with car people.
Yeah. And I think it was great for us to actually get out to a national event. Obviously, we've been, with our work and the projects or whatever, we've kind of been away, and obviously events were cancelled for a long time.
Yeah.
To get out to a national event and, you know, shake some hands and kiss some babies or whatever. And it was great to interact with the dudes that are just like us. And I think it was probably refreshing for them to meet us in person and see that we're just like we are.
Yeah. On the video. The same losers. You
know? Yeah. But it's like we're just normal dudes and we just enjoy doing our cars. And the first thing that we're going to ask you when you introduced yourself to us is, what's your car? Like, what are you doing with it? Like, you know, we genuinely want to know.
Yeah.
Because that's what we
that's probably going to be the point of how I'm going to remember you, because I'm the sort of person that can't remember a name. Oh, you'll introduce yourself and I've already forgotten your name, like, straight away. I don't know what that is. There's probably some sort of...
I feel like it's usually falls under the banner of bad manners.
Yeah. I'll go with that. Hey, I can't argue, eh?
But no, that's, one of the most memorable things so far. And it hasn't just been that one event, but we've been to a lot of other smaller events or even just down the pub. And someone's seen us.
Yeah, you get more of it than I do. I don't get out much.
I was going to say, I probably work just get and out then more I just, than you.
If I've got a spare 2 minutes, I'll try and get in the shed or I'll hang out with the family. So I don't get out much. But I did get it a few times on the trip. So I was like, oh, yeah, I know what it feels like now. Jeff usually gets most of that.
Where we dropped the ball big time on the trip, didn't take any stickers. We really should have.
I don't know how we didn't.
We were talking about taking some merch with us, but then we thought, do you know what? Nah, too hard. Not doing that. We've already got enough stuff that we're packing.
Yeah, we had no room in the end, really, let's be honest.
No.
But we could have fit stickers. We should have definitely taken a
stack of stickers for every... When we went to every roadhouse, we bought a sticker from that town and we put that on the car trailer.
Yeah.
But what we should have also done is had a Tour Cub sticker and put that on every roadhouse, border crossing, or whatever that we went to.
Mm. Yeah, there's others that had the same idea.
Yep.
Which is where we got the idea from.
Well, that's where we noticed our shortcoming.
Yep. What do you think? It might keep going, it might not.
What's
the
that?
Podcast, you know what I mean? Like, I think we're not going to ram it down your throat or whatever. It's just another avenue to interact with people the same as us, really.
Well, like I say, I think when you're watching the video, you kind of... That's more of a you're sitting down and the family's around or whatever. And that's why we try to definitely limit our use of profanities or cussing where we can. I mean,
I try.
When
I'm pretty
edit,
bad though, eh?
I'm going to keep it real. So I'm not just going to cut something out just because there's a cuss word. You know, like I'm going to try and minimize the amount that's there, and the amount of shit talking that we do sort of in between shots, that's definitely got to be minimized on a video, because it just doesn't make good TV. But this is a bit more of a casual, relaxed setting, and we can sort of just be a bit more real, even though we keep it real as it is.
Yeah, that definitely. I was going to touch on that before.
You can probably
you're saying when you meet the people and they're like, "Oh yeah, you're just normal." We definitely try. That's I'm super conscious of just trying to be normal. I don't want to act cooler than I am or anything, because I hate that.
Because you're
hate
not
that
cool.
Shit, eh? I know. That's why I don't try and act cool. That's what I'm getting at.
Neither of us were very cool.
No, not at all.
But you know, we just like doing car things with our car friends, and that's just what we got to try and body.
Yeah. And I think it's fun to talk shit as well, you know.
Absolutely.
As long as no one's getting too upset.
And this discussion won't always be about cars either. You know, like we'll probably go on a tangent from here and there. Like it wouldn't be unusual. Actually, that brings us on to a very important piece of news. AFL Grand Final was played today, Kurt.
Mm. Good.
Anyway.
Back to you guys. In the studio.
Not really footy guys.
Yeah.
No. Did you play footy as a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of years.
Yep.
I was mainly. It was like the congregation with other boys, and would figure out where we're going to go and do dirt jumps or build them or ride them or whatever. Yep. So
it was just a meeting spot to get to where you really wanted to be.
Yeah.
I was. It's weird that I'm actually not into footy because.
Because you're super athletic and you'd be awesome at it. Is that what you mean? That's where you're going, I can see.
Peak male performance.
Yeah.
So I played footy all the way through into high school. I think I was about 16 when I stopped playing footy, and I actually started umpiring. Started umpiring juniors. I'd field umpire the Colts game at 10. I'd have lunch during the reserves, and then I'd boundary umpire in the league. And you'd think that having that sort of nurture all the way through that I would have kept going. But honestly, I turned about 18 or 19 and I just totally lost interest. And I think it was probably because my parents love footy, so they were like right into it. But then when I moved out of home, I didn't have that...
That culture rammed down your throat anymore.
Yeah. And that was... Obviously, I was always into cars, always. But that's when I really just pulled away from everything else and just doubled down on the car stuff.
Yeah.
And... I can't remember the last time I watched a game of footy.
I don't know if I've ever watched a full game.
No.
I would have. That's an exaggeration, but yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't really... But I'm the opposite. My parents weren't really into it or anything, so...
Yeah, okay.
My dad was super into cars, though, but growing up, I was all about bikes, BMX or motorbikes, and I still am now.
I was going to say, that's still a part of you now.
Yeah,
like 100%. Your Sunday ritual.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I love... motocross and supercross, watching it. And I don't ride anymore. I used to ride, had a bad accident, so I give that up. But now my boys, we ride BMX and stuff, so it's good fun.
That's one of our favourite sort of outside the shed pastimes now. Is you know we all sort of get together and go to the skate park or whatever and ride the BMXs or go to the pump track or whatever. And it's good just to get the kids out of the house and
definitely
get some sun. Get some sun on the guns.
Yeah. No, it's important. It's important to do that stuff.
Absolutely.
I reckon. You got to get out.
This will be the first... like I say, this is a pilot. This is... We're testing the microphones. We're testing the camera.
Kurt's trying to get used to this delay in his fucking
headphones.
Headset. It's hard.
I think it's going to get easier as time goes on. You get used to it.
I've been so tempted. I've got one ear hanging out. If you're only listening, I've got one ear hanging out. And the other, I can't even run it. The other's on and it's weird.
It is weird. But I think it's almost necessary. You could run without it.
I'm going to try and run without it.
Yeah.
For the last 30 seconds.
And then I'll just tell you if you're getting too far away from the mic.
Well, I haven't. I'm on a chair.
No.
I can't go too far.
I was going to say, I think next time I'd like some rolly chairs. Actually, we've got the ability and the parts to make some sweet podcast chairs.
If this kicks off... One of the projects is going to be one of my spare sets of Devonish front seats. We might put them on some rolly bases and use those.
They'll be our office chairs.
Yeah.
That'll be sick. I'd be super pumped on that.
Yeah.
But for now, if you guys have got any suggestions on what you'd like to see in the podcast, obviously we've got some segments that we have in our own mind. We're going to try and, you know, make this a little bit nicer. We'll put like some intro music in. We'll have our segments will have their own sort of introduction as well. But
yeah. Any ideas to get more interaction with you guys? That's what we want. You know what I mean? When we did the Instagram lives and stuff like that, we had the guys jumping on, showing us their sheds and stuff like that. I said to Jeff, like, later on, like, we could call that, like, tours with the viewers, you know? Like, it was really good, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
It was really cool to see what others are doing. And, you know, they're on the other side of the country or, you know...
Or the world.
I was going to say, even the world, so...
Yeah.
You know, it'd be cool if we could get something like that incorporated into what we're doing later on down the track, but...
The video splicing, I think, would be difficult just because of our, you know, the limit of our technology.
Yeah.
But I think... People ringing in on the phone, that's definitely something that would be achievable.
Yeah.
You could have, you know, live stream on YouTube or Facebook or whatever, and we could have this set up and you ring the phone number.
Yeah.
I've seen it on a couple of the podcasts. I think there's the Brilliant Beers podcast, the Alpha Blokes podcast. There's a couple others as well. Power and Speed used to do it as well.
Yeah.
Where you could ring up and leave a message and then we could sort of address that on the, on the line.
Yeah, unpack it all.
Yep. Or... Yep. Some of them, like Power and Speed, that was literally live on the podcast. You could ring, they'd answer. And then, you know, if you started getting a little bit, how you going? It's just like, yeah, nah, catch you, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's something that I think I'd like to really get into. Because, like you say, the interaction of the live streams, that was the thing that was really appealing to me.
Yeah.
Getting the people that were in the chat and just really sort of getting a part of it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And just talking about, like, it doesn't have to have to... We don't really want it to be... all about what we're doing on the channel, really. Preferably not. Like, just in general, it's just a general conversation about things that car guys talk about all the time, you know?
That's right.
Like,
if there's
what about this? Because, fuck, there's some peanuts on Facebook and groups and stuff, mate. We could base a whole podcast just off that. I was going to say,
that'd be a whole separate podcast.
Yeah.
Just Facebook fuck.
But we might be able to trim it down to just a segment of some real pearlers, you know?
That could probably be a segment. We could just have, like, the marketplace morons.
Yeah.
And we could have, like... Just go through it, just be like, this bloke, have a look at this.
Yeah, there's plenty of that.
Absolutely.
Blokes don't know how to sell stuff these days, and they don't know how to buy it either, honestly. They're bloody terrible.
This is why I just don't sell anything.
Yeah, I've taken that approach as well.
Yeah, it's just far better. Yeah. Just keep the gear for yourself, and obviously we've now gotten to a point where once these cars are done, we'll probably do another one, so we've got plenty of parts spare, and we can get stuck in. Actually, that sort of reminds me that this ute behind us, we got to do something with that.
Yeah, I'm pretty keen to start having a bit of a fiddle with it when we can.
Mm.
We'll try and put a turbo on it, I reckon. What do you reckon?
I reckon we could probably do that.
Yeah.
I did like the idea of trying to put an L67 bottom end in it. Actually, truth be told, you found potentially a bottom end that we could have used for it, but this is all about cheap and cheerful.
Yeah.
We're going to do this for as little dollars as humanly possible.
Yeah. Yeah, we need all our funds for our own cars at this point.
And that'll be a whole nother podcast topic. We can probably go through restos.
Yeah.
And
it's not getting any cheaper, eh?
No. And what's involved. And because I thought I knew what I was in for. Knowing Mick and having him go through it with the XY, and he pretty much, you know, told me how it was. But then for me to go through it myself, there's some stuff to unpack there.
Yeah, it's a different time as well. You know, there's a few years between that, which I think's the main catalyst for that.
All I can say is when you see these early Commodores for sale at the moment for like $80,000 or $90,000, I can see where the money comes from.
Yeah.
Like where that price comes from. People go, oh, it's just an old Commodore, you know.
Which it
like,
is.
And it, yeah, absolutely it is. And, you know, to some people, you know, a Kingswood or a Monaro or a Premier or whatever would be worth 100, but a Commodore's only worth maybe 50.
Yeah.
I can see why people are asking $80,000+ for these things now, just because of the cost to build it. And you don't ever get that cost back, but, you know, they've invested a hell of a lot more. I can promise you that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we've got a few things. I already want to start the next one already. I've already got some stuff I want to... go off on, but we'll have to wait until next time.
That's right. Yeah, we've already rambled on long enough, but if you think things, put it in your little phone,
Yeah.
And then when we come here, we got some sweet little prompts.
Yeah.
And then we can go on a half hour tangent.
Yeah. Everyone loves a good rant from time to time, eh?
Absolutely. And there will be, I've already got ideas for a segment called On the Chip. And that's just going to be like what really grinds your gears. And I reckon that can really degenerate really quickly.
Yeah.
But yeah, On the Chip. It'll just be like, what really gets you banging on the chip?
Yeah. We might even be able to put that out beforehand and we'll get a couple of examples on the phone line or something like that. That'd be cool, eh?
Yeah, yeah. We can ask people what gets you on the chip and then we'll get a couple of voice messages.
Yeah.
Nice.
Awesome.
All right, man. Thanks for coming and having a little chat with me.
Yeah. We'll do it again. Thanks for getting it all set up and getting the ball rolling. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, for sure, man. It'll just be something else that we can, you know, throw in between videos or whatever and, you know, keep the ball rolling as far as content goes.
That's it. Thanks for watching, guys. See, I cut him off. Chopped his head clean off. Thanks for watching. We appreciate everyone that watches. Also, if you see these cool jumpers, talkhub.com.au, go and get your merch. Support your boys, all that cool stuff. Thanks for everyone that does buy stuff. We've had a few orders this week.
Yes.
It's been really good. We appreciate it. And we're getting great feedback from the quality of the gear as well. Honestly, we know it's good.
Yeah.
So
I feel like as far as YouTuber merch goes, we probably put out some of the best quality gear that there is. And that was something that we were pretty adamant from the start. And you know, like I'm proud to wear this gear and I'll wear it flat out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm wearing mine out too.
Yeah.
That's it. So if you don't want it, that's cool too. You know, we're not trying to build a customer base. We're trying to just, you know, get a community going. Yeah. So like if you like the look, go and cop some. But if not, that's cool too.
Just by watching, you're supporting us. You know, like
absolutely.
You don't necessarily have to buy any of our gear or whatever.
But definitely not. And it doesn't hurt us either way. We ain't mortgaged up with bloody merch or anything like that. You know what I mean? It's just cool to have, really. It's just the cool factor.
That's it. Yeah. You're definitely supporting just by being here. So thank you to all you guys.
That's it.
All right.
See you next time.
Catch you on the next one. Bye.